is, she came here as a young mom.
I did.
And she is growing into an older godly woman. And she has a lot of life experience, and she loves the Lord. And as we got together, the Lord laid her on my heart, and as we got together and we had our conversation, we met over for breakfast, and the more we're talking, I'm like, oh, Mimi, you are the right girl for this conversation. So I think you guys are going to be blessed. So
I like to talk, I guess.
All right, so you grew up in Romania,
mm-hmm.
and you came to the United States to live when your oldest son, Jimmy, was 4, right?
Yes. Actually, that was the second time I came to the States. First, I came to marry my husband, but then we went to school, moved back to Romania. And I did come in 2003. My son was 4 mm-hmm. when I came here. And
why did you come here?
Well, I came here because, so we were doing missions in Romania. We were working with the teens, with the young people. But my son got diagnosed with autism, so we had no place to treat him there. So we pretty much overnight packed everything and moved back to the States.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So your life in Romania, can you tell us what your home was like?
Growing up?
Yeah.
Well, I grew up with my mother who came to the Lord before I was born. So she was a very strong believer, but my father wasn't a believer. My father actually drank a lot, probably 5 days, if not 6 days a week. So my mother was such a great influence in my life because she was just a very faithful woman. And you know what? Today we have so many great teachings here. My mom was a simple woman in the fact that she loved the Lord and she read the Word of God. And that's what she taught us. So literally, I came to Christ because of her example, her prayers, but her example in my life and her unmovable faith through so many trials. So
your mother had a huge impact on your understanding of God and bringing you to Christ.
Yes, very much. So we were 6 in my family. My little sister came 11 years after me. And my oldest brother is 10 years older than me, so you talk about 21 years between them.
Wow.
So it was first the 5 of us, but my mom would line us all, I mean, I can't recall it in my mind all the time, on the bed, like she would make us kneel, and she believed that she had to cover her head when she prayed, so sometimes she wouldn't have like a babushka to put on her head, but she would take the sheets from the bed and she just like put it on her head. And she would pray, and then she would have us all pray. And she would get us all dressed on Sunday morning. And so many times she didn't have my father's help because he was still like recovering from his, you know, being drunk the night before. And she would just dress us all up and bring us to church 9 o'clock in the morning. And we walk about 2 mile walk, and then we would stay for the prayer 9 to 10, then for the they would have like a Sunday school and then the regular church. So our church was from 9 till 12 every Sunday, and then would come home, eat, sleep, like rest a little. My parents would rest, not because my mom would take my dad to church too, and he would always come anyhow, but then in the evening she would take us back to church. So that's pretty much how I grew up. Mom was very, very faithful, and she taught us very early Bible verses. And I remember at school once we had this big stage, and I was never afraid of, you know, speaking, and they had me say this poetry. Romanians are very big in reciting poetries. So when I went up there, I was supposed to say this poetry that they told me to say, and I forgot about it, and I said a Bible verse that my mom taught me, and at the end I said amen. So of course everybody started clapping, and I did the same at church. I remember saying poetry from school, and at the end I said amen. But nonetheless, my mom instilled in us, you know, just to memorize the Word of God. And she, another thing is she modeled so greatly for me is like, we were the ones with lots of kids in the house, but I'm telling you, every time there was a visit at the church, who do you think the pastor would call? My mom. Why? Because my mom was this, I don't know, she had the gift of hospitality, and some of them didn't know my mom. Because she's been here, she just loves people. She loves people, and she loves to give and to cook for them, to welcome them. That's who my mom was, and she modeled that for us. I mean, every time there were visitors, they came to our house. Sunday after church, they were in my house. on the street. I mean, she would cook. She's a very good cook. She would make donuts. And what she would do, she'd go on the street, because that's how Romania is, also the dead-end street, and everything is close together. And she would, like, feed the kids, like, they were playing on the street. That was my mother, mm-hmm. very welcoming. So she really taught me that very early on, not by telling me to do it, but by her example. Mm-hmm. That's who she was. She really, just to summarize it, she was the instrument that God used to bring me to salvation. Mm-hmm. She modeled her love for God, regardless of, I mean, I don't have time to go into details, but the trials that she went through with my father and with all of us kids. But she loved God, she loved her husband, regardless of how my dad behaved, my mother loved him. And that's how she won into Christ 30 years later. He came to know Jesus. She loved her children. She was a very hard worker, very hard worker. And she loved the people around her. And that's what I grew up with. That was.
So she was a model of a Titus 2 woman.
She was. She was. And I'm telling you, you know, sometimes you probably get intimidated saying, well, but I don't know all this stuff. Mm-hmm. You know what? You don't need to know a lot. If you love God and you love His Word, you have everything to give.
Yeah.
Everything to give and help others.
Yeah. And that's how Elaine Bucci was. Mm-hmm. She loved the Lord, and she gave it to people, and she just lived it.
Yeah, my mom to this day, she is sick right now, so she's in the hospital for chemo every 5 days for 8 months. But you know what she does in the hospital? The moment she feels, you know, good and take the IV out of her, she's got her New Testaments with her, and she just, all the ladies in her, there are about five ladies, depends on which room. One room said five ladies, one room said 12 ladies. Gives New Testaments and tell them about Jesus. And when I called her, she gives me the phone. Here, I met a sister in the Lord. Talk with her. I told this girl about Jesus. Talk with her. And I'm like, okay. So, but that's who she was. She hasn't stopped. And she just got home from the hospital. She's seeing people over on Saturday.
Wow.
That's my mom.
Wow. What a great testimony. So your mom was hugely impactful in your life. So you loved Romania. You loved living there.
Mm-hmm.
And then you had to come here for the sake of your son, Jimmy.
Yes.
Because
yes.
you said he was diagnosed with autism.
Mm-hmm.
So you didn't want to leave Romania, did you?
No, I didn't, because I already had my life was all, like, I did my living there. We just, you know, I already moved here to come to school. Now we are back. We're about 4 years, a little over 4 years into it. You made new friends. You new church, you finally feel like you put your roots down, and then literally overnight you're being removed. We're involved in ministry, and those of you who are involved in ministry, you know that it doesn't just, you have to build it up, and it's like everything like was finally looked to us. It was like in its place, and that's when we had to like pick up literally overnight. Our house was finally, I had 2 months with no kids in my room, 2 months, because we built the addition, so I got the kids out of our bedroom, because we had only one bedroom, and I had two kids in that bedroom, and I was like, yay, I finally have a bedroom just for my husband and I, and then 2 months into it, and we're like, anyhow.
So how was the transition for you to come to America?
The transition was like, literally, I didn't want to come. I remember crying so badly, but I had to come, because I knew Marty, you know, said it from the beginning, it's God, it's family, and that is ministry. So we knew Jimmy needed all the treatment that Romania couldn't offer, so we moved here. So it was very hard, but God was he went before me, and Mario always assured me of this. He used to say, Mimi, whatever we go through, just remember God is already there. Let's not fear, let's not be anxious about it, because he's already there waiting for us. So that was a great assurance.
So how did you deal with all those emotions that you had when you came here? I mean, I'm sure you were missing home.
I was missing home, but my mind was like, all I knew was I have this little boy that has a window of opportunity to build in him like fully and train him. And so my mind was like so stuck on this is what I need to do. But I was so lost. I didn't know anything here. And by God's grace, the one that I knew was Lori Bucci, because she came to Romania 3 times, once on a mission trip and then 2 times on her own with Fred. So I got to know her a little more, because all I knew was that she was the worship leader here at the church. So I got to know her a little bit more, and when I got here, she went out of her way to make time to teach me, and like where to shop, how to shop, what Mayfield Heights looks like, to show me the roads, the back roads, the, like, she really took her time to teach me all the practical things that I needed to know about America and how to get around and all the stuff. So she really came alongside, and not too long after that, we started walking together. So I was able to like pour my heart, my fears, my, you know, about Jimmy, and she was able to encourage me and just be such a blessing, like right from the start. Like, she was there. She knew she was on a mission. I need to help this young man that just came here and doesn't know anything about America. Mm-hmm. So, but anyhow, and I can move that, because right after that, what happened is Mother Connection happened. I was invited to Mother Connection. We used to have it in the church. And I remember I caught Kathy teaching twice, I believe, or maybe just once. And then she gave it over to Babette. Babette became the leader of the Motherhood Connection. And ladies, I just want to tell you that the growth that I have seen in my life by God's glory is because of this group here at Motherhood Connection. The teachings, the solid biblical teaching has impacted my life so much. I would be like a sponge. Tell me more, tell me more, tell me more. One of the first lessons that I heard here was about, and I will never forget it, was our identity, how it's so easy for us as women to be influenced by the world around us and find our identity in what the world says our identity should be, in our occupation. But our identity is in what God has created us to be. The wives and the mothers and the homemakers. So Mother Connection was my lucky point. And here I got to meet the three ladies besides Lori Butch in my life, which was Kathy, Mary, and Babette, and right from the start, and they start building into my life, and I'm so grateful because they all had such different roles in ministering to me, and to this day, I don't stop going to them. So
you, in that season when you were lonely, mm-hmm. and you were home, you had somebody who came alongside of you, and then you also had to step out a little bit. You had to get involved in church, and you came, and then you were ministered to.
Yes. So what happened was we came like in February, and in August, Marty got hired here at the church as a youth pastor. And they started, out of a tragedy here in the church, they started this new church, not church, service, mm-hmm. in the night. It was called 6 o'clock Challenge. And Mari was the teacher at that service. And I remember looking around the 6 o'clock challenge, and I would see those young adult girls. Like, Mari was already working with the youth, and I was involved in the youth to some degree. But I remember looking to the young adult girls, and I'm thinking, okay, they came from college. There was nothing going on for them. Mandy, she's here today. I don't believe you were married yet then. The Lord just put in my life, and I was like, okay, there are all these girls that they kind of know each other, a couple of them, like they hang out, but there are some that don't hang out with the other ones. They're like kind of like everywhere. They don't have nothing, they, you know, for them instead, like a study or something. So I started praying, and Mari and I talked, and I said, okay, well, I'm just going to have them over. I'm going to start the study. So I invited Mandy and Becky Klein back then, and was Sarah Sefko came for a little while.
For a while, yeah. I think Jasmine came.
Jasmine, Melissa Bucci, Melissa Rosenbaum, Sarah Feldman. So it was a good group of girls. And we just started to get together and start studying. I believe we did Holiness, Find Mentally the Moss, and Surrender, and Brokenness, just a few books that we started doing together. But I got to know them, and the intention of my heart was like, you know, how can I build into their lives, but how can I get them together so they can fellowship and they get to know each other, so then them themselves become friends, and then they minister to one another. Mm-hmm. So that was like the... And that thing pretty much morphed into, they started the resume, the fusion, so became a young adult. So they already got to a place. That's how I felt like, wow, they're finally a group. You know, they're not just two there, one there, one there. So
your motive in reaching these girls was so that you could build into them, mm-hmm. and help equip them, so then they could go out and...
Yes, that pretty much... I don't know if I was thinking that clearly at that time.
Right.
All I knew there was
a need.
Well,
what did you see?
I saw a need, and I thought, okay, how can I fill that need? Because there's nothing going on. So again, don't think that you have you need to have such a like refined vision, because sometimes we don't have a refined vision too. Like, we grow old and realize, oh, this is what, or we learn more, we become more mature. At that time, all I knew was, there's a need, I can fill it, this is how I'm gonna do it, you know? So.
That's good. And yeah, I think we can get caught up in that. Like, oh, I don't know enough, or who am I? But I mean,
that crossed my mind so many times. I remember
mm-hmm.
there was one specific girl that she started going through some issues, and she ended up in a hospital quite a few times. Mm-hmm. And they thought she was suicidal, but they said, who are you talking to? And she's like, well, I'm talking to my pastor's wife, and my pastor's wife, and she's counseling me. And they were like, well, who is she and what degree does she have? And I remember thinking, oh, no. Who am I? What degree do I have?
Yeah.
You know, do I
yeah.
have this? I'm not a. What do they have? They're a psychologist or a psychiatrist. I don't know what they have. I'm like, I don't have. And Marty used to bring me right back to Earth. Mimi, you know what you have? What nobody can give them in the hospital. You have the Word of God, and that's what they need. This is about their soul. So he would just, you know, Marty's tough like that. Nobody back. Like, stop being like. Stop thinking that way. You have the Word of God, and that's what they need. So, and you love them and continue to minister. And of course, Kathy knows how many times I call her. Kathy, I gotta meet this girl. Now, tell me, what do I do? What do I say? She's so sweetly. I wouldn't even ask her, do you have time? I would just like, and I would take my pen, and I'm like, okay, tell me again. Okay, so then when she, what do I do? Okay. That's what I would do, because literally I had, my time was so involved in Jimmy and Brenda, and then the other ones came along, that I did not have all that time to go through all the classes and learn all the things. But I had treasures right here, you know, that already have gone before me. They study the Word of God, and they can help me out, like, and give me all this wisdom. So literally, that was me. I have notes everywhere with, I put them, finally I had a folder, and these are my notes with all the things that I needed to know so I can help others.
Yeah.
Mimi, you had a huge impact on me, because I was in college, so I was only home for the summers, and then I'd go back to school, and I had like a church family down there, but when I was home, like, you were huge in, because I was still a very young believer, so in helping to bring in some of those like core principles and really cement them and sort of bring that fellowship aspect. And like, I know there were several occasions, especially Becky and myself, where we would come to Mimi and be like, we got a problem, we need help. Mm-hmm. And like, so I would call Mimi, because like, so my mother-in-law is Christian, my mom is not. And so I could go to my mother-in-law, but she kind of felt old, you know what I mean? Like, I was 20 years old, and so I didn't feel like I could go to her with some of those things that seemed a little mm-hmm. more issues that I was mm-hmm. dealing with within my friend group. But Mimi didn't feel quite as old. Like, she felt like she was closer to our age. I mean, you are closer to our age.
Well, I was 31 then. And
so I was like around 20-ish. And so I felt like I could relate more to Mimi. And so I could go to Mimi, and she had surprise canceled. You may have been calling these three, but I was like, Mimi can help us. So I'm very thankful that you pulled us in and pulled us kind of and helped guide us, especially when we were in those young, even before we, because I don't even think Becky might have been married at that point.
She wasn't yet.
Yeah, she like because they got married in 2004. So like, we were like in those young, we were dating our husbands and stuff mm-hmm. like that. But it was extremely helpful for us. I speak on Becky's behalf.
Yeah,
it was helpful for her.
But see, that's a perfect example though of like, I mean, she's a mentor too. She's probably all three of us. I would say Kathy has mentored a lot. You know, a lot of us, and you know, it's. You know, and Kathy learned from somebody else, and then she passes it on, and then, you know, they're calling you. I mean, that's God's design. Mm-hmm. Women helping and teaching and discipling and mentoring women. You know, you knew who to go to, who would give you godly counsel. That's the whole point of this, is mm-hmm. you learn from someone else, and then you pass it on to somebody else. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's
God's
design.
And don't think that it always has to be, like, very official.
Yeah.
Because sometimes we're, like, we're scared of official things.
Yeah,
it doesn't.
That's so
it just
true.
Has to be, like, to be willing, you know, to be willing. And don't think, like, oh, but it came so easy to me. It didn't. I remember one specific girl that I was going to ask to join the study. I'm going to tell Marty. I was like, okay, how do I talk to her? How do I ask her? How do I... I'm like, no, she's intimidating. Just because her personality was stronger, and I'm thinking, how do I do this? And he said, Mimi, stop. Go love her. And just tell her, this is what I want to do. I want to have this study. Yeah. Would you like to join us? And I'm telling you, I went, and she was such a blessing. And she talked the whole time, and the conversation went great. And I thought, why was I so scared, you know?
And I think that's what's important is when people know that you care and that you take the time to talk with them and hear them and teach them what you know, it means something. It's an impact in their life. Mm-hmm. And I mean, like, you knew that Mimi cared, and so you were willing to go to her, you know. And this girl, she stepped out and she came to the study. Mm-hmm. So Marty is the youth pastor, and you are very involved with him, with youth. Mm-hmm. And you talk a lot one-on-one with the girls, right?
I do.
So you were, for a while, you were working with the 20s-somethings.
Yes.
Now you're with those teen girls, right? Share some of the struggles that these girls have and how you help them.
Okay. Well, they have lots of problems. They do, because we live in a world that it's like, it's a problematic world, let me put it that way. So they have worries, some of them anxieties, fears, and all of those, they turn into like physical sickness, believe it or not, at such a young age. I'm like, wow. They have boys' problem, they have loneliness problem, they have pretty much all the problems that we have dealt with or still deal with to some degree or other. But the beauty of it is, so the way it works on Friday nights, we come to the, we have youth group. But what I like about it, after the youth group is done at 9 o'clock, we hang out. That's how we call it, because it's a safe environment. So when I first walk in the youth group, I see the girls, I give them a hug, and I see them every week. So if they come and they have their cast down face, I know something is going on. So that is such a good way for me to say, hey, what's going on? Sometimes you hear, oh, I'm fine. I'm like, you can tell that to anybody else but not me, because I know you. Your face is cast down. Can we talk about it? So afterwards, we talk about it. So sometimes that's how it works. After the youth group, I talk with the girls. Sometimes they are not needy, so we just talk, fun talk. But sometimes you see that there is a problem. And many times it's resolved right after the youth group. As you talk with them, you speak some truth into their life, their face gets lifted up, and it's done. Sometimes the problem is deeper, so then I say, okay, how about this week? Give me a day when we can meet. We can meet 2-3 times, and then even that gets resolved. And I love that, because some of those girls never get farther down to end up in a counseling room, because the problem is dealt with at the first level. And when it just happens, as we see them week by week, you know them by now, and you already have a relationship. Sometimes I get phone calls, like, I remember one girl, she used to go to public school, she used to go at Mayfield. She called me, it must have been 11 o'clock in the night. She's like, I need to talk with you. I could hear on the phone, she's all stressed out. I said, what happens? I am done. I know the word of God is true, but I can't hold on any longer. My friends are making fun of me that I'm, I think they called her a prune or a prude or a something, because she didn't kiss anybody. Mm-hmm. Some type of word. A prude.
A prude.
They called her something like that, because she never kissed a boy. And she's like, I'm done. I want to be kissed by a boy. And you know what? I want to have some of their dreams. I am done holding on. I can't take it anymore. Their life looks so exciting. So, and I knew her mom was already building into her life, and she had a great relationship with her mom. And she just needed another voice. Her mom said, why don't you call Mimi? But probably her mom was like, dude, call Mimi. Because I know, I get there, I'm like, oh, Brenda, I'm done with you. So she called me up, and I listened to her, and then I opened up Proverbs 1. And over there what it says, my son, if sinners entice you and says, come on, let's go and do this and do that, do not go with them. This is a father pleading to his son, with his son. So I opened up the scripture and I read to her, and I put her name in there. And I said, my daughter. And I put her name in there. I said, if sinners. And then I put her specific situation. If they entice you, come drink with us. Come kiss a boy. Come. I just made it practical for her. She was crying. We prayed. We stayed up over the phone. And then she overcame that very strong temptation. Mm-hmm. And you know, this young girl graduated from college, standing strong, yeah. never being kissed by a boy in that school, remaining a virgin and remaining a strong witness for the Lord. She went on to college, went on to minister. She's a powerhouse for the Lord, and I'm so thankful. But what I'm saying is, that's how you come alongside mm-hmm. them. You want, mm-hmm. you need to be available and you need to have a relationship with them so they can trust you. And then once you have the Word of God, you know what to offer them, because that's mm-hmm. the hope. I had a girl, last week she called me. I need to talk with you. What's the matter? I just don't have the joy of the Lord. I read the Word. This is the time in my life that now I read the Word and I pray. I have, just don't feel God. I just don't. So you know, first hear that, you think like, okay, you know what? We go through periods like that. Continue to be faithful. And then she said to me, and as I read the Word, I get convicted and I get challenged and I have no joy. I'm like, tell me again, you get convicted, you get challenged. Tell me what's going on. Tell me what you read. Well, I'm reading 1 John, and 1 John talks about loving your neighbor and how you know they will know you by your love. And you know what? I'm looking at the situation. My brother is my neighbor, so to speak, and I don't love him. I am not kind with him. I'm not da-da-da. And she starts going down the list. I'm like, my little sister, you don't have the joy of the Lord because you're not obeying His word. You keep on slipping up to, He's telling you this is what you need to do, and you read and you get challenged and you're faithful reading, but then you do nothing about it. And then you wonder why you don't have the joy. So it was such a, and she was like her eyes, like boom, you know, the light went on. Yeah. And she started, oh, that's it, I'm going to take notes on how I respond. I said, very good, take notes on how you respond, and then take notes on how you should respond according to 1 John. Mm. And then come and we're going to go over them. So, but that's it's good. Like, yeah, you know, things
yeah.
like that.
Yeah. All right, two more questions yes. I have for you. One is, you have two daughters.
I do.
You have Brenda, 16,
mm-hmm,
right?
17.
Okay, and Gloria is?
Going to be 8 next week.
Okay, so we were talking about the impact. You mm-hmm. were talking about the impact that your mother has had on you. Mm-hmm. I talked about it in my teaching. So how do you see yourself intentionally building into your girls?
Well, I know one thing. Working with the girls for so many years, with the young girls, I've noticed when the relationship between a mother and a daughter is broken, the daughter is going off the deep end. I think you guys say in America. So that was one of my prayers. Lord, just help me kill my flesh. Help me do whatever is necessary, not to run my way when it comes to my daughters, so I don't break that relationship. I want to have a relationship with them. And believe me, we have a fun relationship, but they know that I'm the authority in their life that God is giving them. So it's a combination of those two. So what I do is I communicate. Mm-hmm. I just communicate about with them about everything, mm-hmm. about what's going on in school. I listen to them. I remember Babette used to say how they would come to you. They would come late in the night to talk with them. Well, that is happening to me when I'm like, I gotta be in bed, sister. I'm like, bed.
Exchange.
But that's when they wanna come. But you know what? Every opportunity that I can get to talk and see what's going on. Mm-hmm. Because what I'm concerned with them is their heart. What's going on in their life and in their heart. Anything else, you know what? School is important, but for me it's not as important. There's what's going on in their so-called friends and in their little heart. What is happening in those two? I get to know who their friends are, what their names are, what they wear, where they go, what they read. I am involved. I want to know what's going on. And as I learn about them, then I'm able, I have a door open to speak in their mm-hmm. life. When they say, you know, my friend, da 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 da, I'm able to say, oh, so, and I ask a lot of questions. What mm-hmm. do you think, you know, how would God have you respond to this? And Brenda got to a point now where I thank the Lord she has all the teachings and everything that has been through the years, she's mm-hmm. like implementing them, and I can see that, and it's such an encouragement, because now I have Gloria that I, and the same thing, Gloria comes home and she's so open and she would tell me things and I would be like, wow, Gloria, so what do you think you should have done, or what, you know, and I can, that's why we communicate, and that gives me a door to teach them and constantly train and prove truth, because when she comes home and says, this girl in my class said this and this and this, I am able to say, do you think it was right what she said? According, because I tell them all the time, remember, Bible glasses. We teach them to put the Bible glasses through the mm-hmm. through what the scripture says. So we just, that's how I build into them. I just
I would agree.
keep the relationship going. And and I teach them. I don't have this set time when I just thus says the Lord. No, that's Marty's job in the night when I do the family devotion. But the way I see it, and of course Marty does it during the day. You guys know Marty, the nonstop Bible teacher. But during the day, that's what we do. It's a, like Deuteronomy says, along the way, as you sit down, as you walk on the road, as you go in the backyard to pick up the whatever, Finn's poop or something. Teresa didn't hear me.
I'm sorry.
Your dogs, as we go in the backyard and clean up, your dog is little.
Oh, my God.
So,
yeah.
And I wanted to put Teresa Patin out there. We became friends. It's been quite a few years ago. We used to be at the table. Kathy was the Titus woman. I was the care leader. Teresa was our table. She just started coming to the Mother Connection. This has been quite a few years ago. And then we started being pregnant almost like the same times, and our kids started to play together. And then we just started a friendship. And I know probably in the beginning, you know, we started because we had the little kids together, then they're playing, and it became more like a mentoring, so to speak. But this friendship developed in such a sweet friendship and a relationship they became to, now it's a relational friendship in a sense of like, she builds into me as I build into her. Mm-hmm. And I'm so encouraged to see her love for God, her steadfastness in raising her children and the way she loves her husband. And I want to encourage her, and just to see how this happens. Like, it starts in the beginning, and yes, you know, she's younger and newer at the church, but the next thing you know, that comes to a deeper level. You know, there becomes this...
Finish your sentence.
There becomes this, now, it's a building it with one another. You know what I'm saying?
I didn't want to... I'll make it quick. I really will.
Because I wanted to share one more thing.
Well, see, I didn't want to talk because I didn't want to...
Talk, Teresa. Go ahead.
It's funny because this topic comes up because when I remember Mimi is when my son was born, they didn't know he had to have heart surgery, and it was like 3 days in, and I only knew Mimi from the table, you know, talking, our kids were similar ages, friendly, but we weren't like hanging out on the weekends or anything like that, and Mimi showed up to the hospital, just like that, with flowers in her hands. It says, it's my culture to give flowers at hospitals, it's my culture. And loved on me and shared with me the Lord. And now, like you said, like, you know, not that you, I don't know how I build you up, but
anyways,
you get to a point where you say, okay, I can only keep, I'll always go to these Titus women in my life. But now there's a point where I'm the big girl, and now I have to look for women that are younger that... I was there 8 years ago, and so it's not just about, let me just always keep
receiving
myself and going to women and taking out the information. I have to pass it to the next woman, too. Mm-hmm.
Thanks, Tristan. So that was really good.
Yes.
That's important to hear.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So. One thing that I wanted you to share that I think all these ladies could value from is you shared with me when we talked that when your kids were little, you would invite moms over and share with that how you did that, because those were your peers. Those were, right?
Yes.
Weren't they more women who were, or younger, was it?
They were younger. The thing is, when you're in the season, when you have little kids, it's very hard to get out of the house. It's very hard to make plans. So I had a choice. I remember thinking, okay, I can be stuck in the house for the next 15 years until, you know, my kids grow. Or I can just invite them over my house. So that's what I did. Like, ministry doesn't stop just because different seasons in your life happen. And I tell my teens at the church that my desire for them is, this is my desire for my own kids and for my youth teens, that they will learn what a joy is to serve the Lord. Not everybody's going to be called to full-time ministry or missions, but we're all called to serve Jesus. And it's a joy to serve Jesus. So the way you ladies can serve Jesus is by opening up your home. It's not hard to open up that home. We live in a culture that everybody's to themselves and their media. We all know each other through media, but we don't really know each other relational, one-on-one. Bring people in your home. It is not hard to open up that home. You know what? And that's what I would do. I didn't stop ministry. I would invite people in my house. You know what? Sunday, let people come over. That's how I fellowship. Otherwise, I'm only fellowshiping with my little ones.
But you told me that when you would tell them, okay, I'm putting them down for a nap. Yes. I have, you know, this much time. Come over now.
Yes. This was mainly with the young with the young girls. They would be like, Mimi, we really need to talk. I have to talk with you. I'm like, listen, I can't get out of the house, but my kids are sleeping between 1 and 3. And most likely at that time, we can have a conversation without interruption, so just come over there. And you know what? They would come, I would have like a tea ready for them, we would drink a tea, and I would talk. And some of them would like to stay longer. And life didn't end because they wanted to stay longer. So the kids would wake up, I would bring them down, put them in the lap, and I would do my dinner. And conversation will still happen. Like some of the girls, because they are young, they didn't have much going on, they would stay longer. And you know what? We did life. As I build into them, as I minister to them, so make it a point. Go, it's not hard. It's not hard to minister to one another.
Yeah, I think that's great.
It doesn't matter what season. Doesn't matter how many kids. You can still bring someone in your life that you can minister to, because this is what I want to end. Mm-hmm. When I was in Moody and I learned so much about the Lord, I remember thinking, I can't wait to go back to my ex-communist country and tell them all this, and then. When I moved back here and I learned all the things that I learned here in Motherhood Connection, I remember I used to tell you girls that Motherhood Connection, Armin, oh, the impact Pastor Armin had in my life, all the put off and put on and being transformed and changed, so many habitual sins that God had helped me overcome because of the great teaching of this church. I remember thinking, I feel just like I was at Moody, like I'm about to explode, I gotta share it with others. Well, the way you do it, you don't have to wait until you go to Romania. I'll let you girls go. One thing, one lady came to me last week and said, I hear all this thing about discipleship. What exactly does it mean? How do I do it? You know what? Sometimes discipleship scares us, the word. Do you know what discipleship looks like to me? I take you, Amy, in my life. You become my friend. I do life with you. And you know what? I encourage you in the world, in a word. When you come to me and you say, man, my husband really bothered me last night when da-da-da-da-da, I bring the word of God. When you say, my kid, this is my kid, I bring the word of God. That's what we do. That's discipleship. You bring the word of God on everyday problems. That's what it is. So I told this lady, don't wait for ministry, because she was thinking more like ministry in the future. I said, don't think for ministry in the future. Right here, right now. Discipleship means you take somebody under your wing, so to speak, and you start building into her life with the word of God.
Thank you, Mimi. That's awesome. Pick a name for the book.
Pick a name. Let's see. Johnson Heather.
Heather. Yay! Here you come. Yeah. Welcome.
All right. Let me, we're running a couple minutes late, so let me pray for you all, and then we'll be done. You can grab your kids. Lord, I thank you so much for this time this morning. I thank you for your word, your faithfulness to us. I thank you for the encouragement and the conviction and just the challenge. And Lord, you are clear to women in Scripture on how we should live and how we should love one another and encourage one another. And I pray for each woman in this room that she would look at her relationships in her life and who she can go to learn from and who she can reach out to minister to. And I love what Teresa said, how she was the younger mom and she was just taking it all in, but she realized at a certain point she had to turn it around and minister to someone else and feed into somebody else's life. And I pray that we would all think that way, Lord, that we would be challenged and on how you want us to serve you, and how you want us to take what we know and the experience of life and just even coming alongside someone else and encouraging them and talking and hanging out and just doing life together. I pray that you would just put it upon us and even put someone in our minds. Mm-hmm. And we thank you, Lord. We thank you for this ministry. We thank you for your love and your salvation. And we lift all this up to you in your name. Amen.
Amen.
Thanks, ladies.
Thank you.
Well, this is more. I mean, it's so Sometimes Halloween, like.